They're only peasant farmers who don't earn enough from farming.
Emily is among several girls who are learning here for free. The school is a brainchild of Memory Jazz and Jetseni, who resisted a push into marriage from her relatives after the death of her parents. But 3 years later, she lost an uncle who was paying for her secondary education, and she left school to stay with her grandfather.
I was the only girl in the village. And when I asked about the other girls, where they were, I was told they are all married. And in this small village, the expectation was that I was the next person to get married.
Instead, she began working as a volunteer teacher at an all-girls secondary school, which had just opened in her area. Here, she became friends with a volunteer teacher from Canada who later raised funds for Jetson's college education. After obtaining a degree in Bible studies, Jetson shared with her Canadian benefactor, Christy Johnson, the idea of starting the all-girls secondary school. The school gets most of its funding from Rotary Clubs in Canada, where Johnson lives. More than 800 girls have so far benefited from the scholarships since they began in 2007. Some are now working as teachers, while others have graduated from universities.
If I do not have APU there for me, it means that by now I would be home in the village, married, having kids, and just a housewife. And a housewife, of course, of a subsistence farmer, and I do not like that.
A graduate of economics from the University of Oklahoma in the U.S., Samuel plans to start an economic empowerment initiative that will help give employment to people in her village. Financial challenges have forced the school to enroll other students who pay tuition fees. Still, Jetseni plans to open a few more schools operating under the same model and even dreams of opening colleges for the benefit of girls. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Lilongwe, Malawi.
Man's best friend is being drafted into the war on wildlife trafficking in Africa. Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and Mozambique have all enlisted canine rangers to help detect illegal wildlife contraband, in particular ivory. And now Botswana is joining the trend. The country is home to Africa's largest remaining population of elephants. 10 new canine rangers, along with 15 Botswana handlers, are completing the training in Tanzania. Lenny Ruwaga reports from Arusha, Tanzania.
Ishmael Munwamwetsi leads his charges in an obedience drill that is meant to instill discipline in both rangers and their dogs. Commander Munwamwetsi, a retired crime scene investigator, commands 15 rangers on a course that has taken them 2 months to master. The rangers here are all from the Department of Wildlife and National Parks in Botswana, and once graduated, shall be deployed to form the country's first canine unit that will combat the trade in wildlife contraband. Munwamwetsi says the trained dogs are the best partners in fighting poaching.
Dogs are effective because of their good sense of smell or their natural olfactory in terms of managing the different scents. The dogs as well, if we look at that, human beings can easily be, you know, bribed. You can't bribe a dog or you can't lie to a dog.
Ali Daddy, the regional immigration officer in Arusha, says that countries ought to collaborate in the global menace for effective results. Daddy adds that people should view wildlife as an income earner that needs to be protected at all costs.
Wanyamapori, of course, wanyamapori,
Wildlife as a natural resource is a gift from God and needs to be well managed so as to contribute to the economy. But if poachers keep killing the animals, it will mean fewer tourists and also affect our income in terms of foreign exchange for our country.
The Africa Wildlife Foundation, AWF, is an international conservation organization that partnered with Canine Specialist Services International, which is in Arusha, Tanzania. Today, Philip Murudhi, the lead scientist specializing in species conservation at AWF, is getting a demonstration on how the trained sniffer dogs react to contraband and how meticulous the search is. Murudhi says that wildlife plays an important part in all ecosystems that make up the environment.
These species play ecological roles, and the ecosystem in which these species occur provide water, clean air, and these species are part of that health of that ecosystem. For those ecosystem services and goods to benefit and help us with human well-being, we need these species. That's why this war must be stopped.
Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania and Mozambique already have ranger canine units at their ports of entry, all of whom have been trained at the facility. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Arusha.
New York is a magnet for immigrants looking for freedom and opportunity in the U.S. At the same time, American life is enriched by the diverse cultures and fresh perspectives that immigrants bring. VOA's Adam Phillips profiles Nigerian-American writer Obioma Nwokolo. Nwokolo is the author of children's book series about a fictional 10-year-old African princess who loves to make friends, solve mysteries, and protect African wildlife.
Obioma Nwokolo's path to success as a children's author was anything but straightforward. She came to New York in 1989 to study fashion design, then decided to become a pharmacist. But when her son, now 10 years old, was bullied on a school bus, she penned a series called Power Kids to help children spot and cope with bullies. Before long, Nwokolo was getting up at 5 every morning to write, and the Princess Amelie series was born.
Princess Amelie is a 10-year-old African princess. Amelie is a short form of Omalicha, which means beautiful.
The first title in her series, Princess Amelie, The Coronation and the Polka Dot Lamb, is a mystery story where Amelie must overcome a family curse.
She's a smart, intuitive, exciting and funky, and always looking to do something different. And she really, really wants to have friends. And so in the first book, it's introducing her funkiness and how eventually the curse is broken and she solves the mystery with her grandmother.
Nwokolo writes her books for all children, but girls from 6 to 12 years old are her primary audience. Nwokolo says that when girls identify with powerful female characters like Princess Amelie, it inspires in them a sense of self-esteem and possibility. She recalls being smitten as a child with stories by the English author Enid Blyton, who wrote nearly 100 mystery and adventure stories about girls for girls. Nwokolo's stories pay homage to Blyton, but with an African twist.
I made sure that I put all those things that really got me going, that really got me reading into the night under the blankets with my torch, and my parents didn't know. And also I added things that kids will read and say, I didn't know this about Africa. This is so interesting.
After 28 years in America, Nwokolo still misses her childhood home in eastern Nigeria. She says the atmosphere she creates in the Princess Amelie stories recalls the life she once knew.
Yeah, it is a way of staying in touch with my roots because that's where I grew up. I grew up doing all the things Princess Amelie does in the book, like the food, pounded yam, fish soup, okra soup. I mention all those, the way it tastes, the way it's prepared. Also talk about the climate, how warm it is, where you wake up in the morning, go to the river, you see the fruits fall from the trees and you eat them there. It's so beautiful. And the people are warm, friendly. I want everybody who reads it to know about this beautiful Africa.
Nwokolo's books do touch on some serious subjects, like poaching. In her recent title, Princess Amelie, The Cheetah and the Chatterbox Parrot, Princess Amelie and her friend go to a group of villagers to explain why they should take a stand against poaching. She warns them that fewer animals will mean fewer tourists and therefore bad economic times. And then there is the cruelty of poachers, who often take the ivory tusks from living elephants and leave them to die in agony.
People hack the elephant tusk out of their heads, and she says to them, imagine if your tooth was pulled out without any anesthesia, or that aliens came from another planet and strung your eyeballs as Christmas decorations without asking your permission. This is what we're doing to the elephant. And when they say that, kids are like, wow, that's true. So it creates awareness. It's hopefully get kids to act and pay more attention to the environment, enlightening your community, and you're doing something to help your society.
So far, Princess Amelie books are mostly sold in the United States, but Mokolo is in touch with African educators. She wants these books to be part of school children's reading lists. She has also begun to market a Princess Amelie doll. In America, most dolls are white. Mokolo wants African-American girls to have a doll that looks like them. That way, when they read about the princess's amazing adventures, they can say, I could be this girl myself. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Well, comedy can play an important role in sparking dialogue in societies. In many authoritarian countries, including Zimbabwe, comics have tread lightly when it comes to politics. But with the end of the government of former President Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's humorists say there's a new sense of freedom of speech. Reporter Kuzayi Zvinovashi recently spoke to several comics about the changing approach today to teasing politicians and celebrities.
Comedy in Zimbabwe has kept Zimbabweans laughing through the nation's most trying times. Comedian Clive Chigubu talks about the history of the comedy industry in Zimbabwe.
It started off with the Edgar Langeveld way back, but those guys got arrested. Comedy is about revolution. And then after that, then came us in 2008. All these Bulawayo guys and folks coming together and building up shows. That's where comedy started to really boost up. Right now, it was a bit stagnant because of the cash crisis system, but I'm happy that we have so many young comics that are coming up.
Comedy has played a crucial role in starting social debate in Zimbabwe. Prosper Ngomashi is a comedian whose stage name is The Comic Pastor.
In the past, comedy was regarded as an anti-government thing because whenever you do a political joke, it's regarded as an anti-government. But now, I think there has been change. People have been accepting comedy as it is.
President Mugabe's government had a lot of intolerance for political mockery. Comedian Mandlenkosi Mate says that's changing and that it's been a struggle. But the comedy business is starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, we've been patient for so long. Since Robert Mugabe was still the president of Zimbabwe, man, we've been receiving threats left, right and center, doing the political jokes and stuff. But now at least everyone now is happy that the comedians can actually do fun jokes about the government and stuff. I think we have now a legal percentage of freedom of expression and speech and stuff.
Mate recalls one time when he was threatened after joking about politics.
Ah, many threats, many threats, especially in Harare. There, I was approached by five agents of the watch. They were like, boy, come over here. This thing you're doing is not okay. You have to stop it.
Mate adds that businesses are beginning to provide financial backing for comedy. Many companies sponsor comedians to enhance their brand, even using them as commercial ambassadors in advertisements aimed at consumers.
We are receiving a lot of corporates and sponsors so far. It's not officially a job, especially in Harare, not much to say in Bulawayo. Bulawayo with the audience, it's very hard, but at some point we've infused some people to believe in us and they are now regular customers. But some of them just feel like, what is comedy? These guys just smoke weed and make jokes.
Chikubu says comedy plays a role in influencing the public's perception of politics.
It does play a vital role in terms of politics because we are the commentators. We listen to what people are saying, but as a comedian, there's a line that normal people really stop. As a comic, you continue from that line.
On Saturday evening, Busstop TV, an online program that produces comic skits that go viral online, celebrated its third anniversary with a free show. It's respected for not taking sides in politics, but for skewering all sides of the political spectrum equally.
You guys are celebrating your independence.
Normalcy had finally returned to Harare after days of joyful relief over Mugabe's departure. Chigubu says we will be hearing more political jokes.
We're going to be hearing more political jokes, but are we supposed to go far? No, we shouldn't go far because we are a nation that is so private. Have you noticed what has happened in our government change? Even the BBC didn't know.
We are taking over the ZBC. You guys should know that you are safe. So is the president. We are just collecting criminals. And we're like, we know, my guy, we know.
Chigubu says he thinks President Mnangagwa will be okay with the comics making jokes.
I have got more Emmerson Mnangagwa jokes. He's quite a humble person. That's what I love about him. So, which means he's not that harsh. He even made us laugh even during this whole process. Remember that he thought he was going to get killed, but he told us, I'll be back. Just like, I'll be back. Hasta la vista, Emmerson.
And Robert Mugabe couldn't change one place. It will sound very, very, very wrong. He couldn't change Victoria Falls, people. We can't have a Victoria Falls called Robert Gabriel Mugabe Falls.
Comics are optimistic. One of their main aspirations is that the state broadcaster buys their content and they can earn a living from the job they love. Lampooning reality. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zunawashe from Harare.
We'll end our special show today on a musical note. Here's Mother-in-Law by Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars. That wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyis Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.